Family of Christ, beautiful song. Well done, choir. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit called patience, which all of you have, right?
No.
You've been patient all week. You've been patient up to time to come here this morning. You're patient getting up this morning, right? You're patient getting your breakfast or getting ready or waiting on someone's turn to have your turn to the restroom or something. Well, that's what patience is. This is to be calm and collected while things around you may be in a turmoil. But I want to read, first of all, again, these verses. Time we get through the fruit of the Spirit, hopefully you can quote all of these, right? And if not, if you don't quote them, at least sing them. We sing them at camp. It's one of their favorite songs, singing fruit of the Spirit. All right, here we go. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. So, when you think of patience, I think it's just the word is enough to remind most of us we're probably not there yet, right? And I don't know if we'll ever get there. But it was important for Paul to list it for us as Christians to be able to work towards that so that we can experience the true measures of spiritual growth in our life. No matter who it is, I think people sometimes struggle with being patient. And that is a virtue. If you have that quality in your life, it's a virtue. And it doesn't matter if you're a kid or an adult or a senior adult. There are times when I think others just get to you, right? It might be your own family member or something. I laugh every time I read this particular story. And I can imagine it does happen all the time. It's probably happened to you, where you maybe sitting at a red light waiting for it to turn green, and when it turns green, maybe something hiccups in your car and it doesn't go or it stalls. Well, this man, light turned green and his car stalled, and he frantically tried to start it. And of course, there's hundreds of other cars behind him begin to lay on their horns, blowing, wanting him to go on. And he tried and he's tried. And the person behind him, of course, could hear him trying to start his car, but he still was laying heavy on his horn. So finally, he said, well, the only way to solve this is he got out of his car, he went back to the man behind him, and said, sir, I'm sorry, but my car just won't start. But I tell you what I'll do. I will stand here. If you'll go up and try to get my car started, I'll stay back here at your car and keep blowing your horn till you get mine started. Do you ever feel like doing that? So I get the maybe the man got the message. Yeah, if he couldn't get his car started, maybe he knew how this guy felt. But you know, I have found that the fruit of the Spirit can be divided in three parts, and there's many passages in the Scriptures where the Scriptures, such as Psalms 23, can be divided into three parts. And whether you can see or I can see how sufficient and how we can categorize these particular fruits of the Spirit. But the first three fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And that speaks about our attitude towards God. Now you think about it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then we are to love one another. And we are to be joy. And joy doesn't come automatically. We have to work on that as well. And then peace that passes all understanding, the Bible talks about. So those are considered our attitude towards God. So love, joy, peace. I believe that's why Paul listed them first of all, so that we understand our allegiance and our lives should be centered around those three towards God. And then the second three relate primarily to our attitudes towards others. Patience, I mean, it's the first of the three. And kindness and goodness. And we are to treat others as these are listed like this. And then the final three, fruit of the Spirit, I think reflects attitudes towards ourselves. That's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So how many have self-control? All right? Well, if you don't have patience, you don't have self-control, right? Now maybe that's why Paul listed self-control last. So if we can get the first eight, you know, and work on those and get those in line with one another and with God, our attitude towards God, towards others, and then ourselves, then we are successful. So again, these categories may not capture the fruit of Spirit exactly, but nevertheless, the thinking may help us to get our mind around what's very practical about these fruit of the Spirit, these traits. And in attempt to help us to do that, I want to suggest three questions and try to answer those the best I can as I read and studied scriptures. And always, you know, as I think about the message and everything and questions that are on your program this morning, I try to answer them according to how the scripture speaks to me about subjects like patience. Because this is a very important topic here of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. So, as we look at these this morning, first one is, what is patience? So if you could come up with your own definition or analogy of what patience is, you know, it might be something, you know, towards God. It's the first three, love, joy, peace. Or looking at others, how patient or kind or good to others are you? And the Lord can help us in that area. And then the last three as well is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But there are a number of interesting definitions I've found as I searched different meanings and definitions of what patience is, and there were many. People, the resources I checked had many, 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 and I'm not going to go all through those, but this one that I found, I think, is one of the best ones that I can come up with that actually tells us what patience is. And it says, patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. Now, I like that one because it fits exactly what Paul is saying here. If you want to walk in the Spirit of God and speak in the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, then it comes from our knowledge that God is in control of all of these things in our life. And also going to the scripture, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, Paul says, you know, we celebrated our 50th anniversary, your service to the church today here at Versailles Baptist Church. And Paul says, prisoner, but he was saying, I am your servant. I am service to you. And that's why it says, therefore, I'm a prisoner or a servant of the Lord. Implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. That fits you perfectly, right? Walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling with which you have been called. And then verse 2. With all humility, with gentleness, and with, and there's that word, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. It kind of picks out some of those fruit of the Spirit, because Paul was talking to the Ephesians church, and I'm sure that he was dealing with some of the issues there, and he was reminding them of the fruit of the Spirit, and he mentioned some of those right here. He said, okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the basics of Christianity, where Jesus himself, as he walked upon this earth, he demonstrated every one of these fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus had control because he had self-control, because he was the Son of God. And even though he had his human side, the flesh side of life, he was the Spirit of God controlled him completely. And he was mastered by the Lord himself. So now, when we look at this passage of Scripture here, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 and 2, I want us to look at what this passage of Scripture is talking about. The word we want to look at here is tolerance. Do we have tolerance in your life? Well, in the New American Standard, it has forbearing. In King James Version, where tolerance in New American Standard and forbearing in the KJV, and bear with in the new KJV. So this word tolerance, that's what it means in the other translations as well. So the ideal is to sustain or patiently bear with something or someone. So you bear with, or you tolerate, or it's forbearing that you yield yourself. Now, James is an interesting book as well. James tells it like it is. If you read the book of James, James tells you exactly the way it is in life and the way that we should respond and function in our life. And then that's what he says in James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Have you been tested this week? If you did, hopefully you had the endurance to get past all of that, and it showed up good. And then in verse 4, James goes on to say, and let endurance have its perfect result. The end is great. You endured through the testing, is what James is saying, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I like that. I like what James says, because he tells us that, you know, no matter what our circumstances are, we're going to be tested in this life, and hopefully we can endure, we can persevere, and come out with patience. So, the ideal that it is the patience that bears up under a load, provides steadiness in the midst of life battles. Life is through a lot of battles in our life. And it's patience that allows a person to endure life's challenges without giving up or hanging tough during difficult days. Now, I like this little boy. Now, something's upset him, right? So, it means to slow to get mad, which opposite of short fuse. Now, if we can get, well, Christ, you know, he got angry. when you went in and they was using the temple for money exchanges and selling merchandise and stuff like that. But that was for a righteous behavior of anger. But we are in circumstances in our life, we are to think about it, and if we get angry, but we don't have to have a short fuse and just fly off the handle like this fly. Now, it says, there you go, you're flying off the handle again. So, sometimes we do fly off the handle, and we need to be careful in that area that we don't go to that point. So the idea of getting mad over a little irritation that are so much a part of everyone's life. And I'm so glad we have scriptures like this to remind us that we are human, and therefore we don't have to yield to the things in our life that will cause us to become angry or not patient in our life. So it's hanging on to our emotions when we feel like letting the fur fly. as I've heard over and over and over, a silly little things that often get our nerves. You know, you got a lot of nerves, right? Everybody has nerves, but sometimes it gets down to the last one, and that's when it breaks us, right? We just fly off the handle. But sometimes it's a real challenge for each one of us. Okay, the second part, where does patience come from? Well, the Bible is very clear when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, that these traits come from the Holy Spirit, not our own power, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this again, the Bible is very clear about this, that the traits come, these fruit of the Spirit come from the Holy Spirit and not ourselves. And that's why we have to work these areas in our life. So the reason that we can get patience from God is that God has he has the corner on it. He has the corner on patience. He is patient with us. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? He is. He is. And when you look at the stories of the Bible, we can easily see that God operates on totally different timetable than we do. We all know that things don't happen as quickly as we would like them to happen. You know, we pray sometimes and we ask God for something and we want it, what, yesterday? Or we want it now? But God says, you know, sometimes you need to wait. How bad do you really want it? And it proves the point if we quit praying. Well, it wasn't that important. But if we keep praying, God knows how important it is to us and it's important to Him. It might not turn out exactly the way we want it to, but it's God's way and it'll always be perfect that way. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't work speed we want Him to work. Now, I want to give you some examples of these from scriptures to see how God worked in the Old Testament and in the New Testament with people of God who had to wait. And I think about Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 years. I mean, they was past, 25 years past when they prayed for a son, Isaac. They had to wait another 25 years. Now, how many of course, say they was up in their age, like we are probably now, or older. And they waited 25 years, and God gave them a son, and they named it Isaac. The only land Abraham owned in his lifetime was a cemetery plot. Did you know that? He had no land. Because he told Abraham, as far as you go, you know, I will bless you with generations to come. He didn't own it. God said, you just go, and I will show you the land of my people and so forth. But he never personally owned anything of his own except the plot where he was buried That's very interesting. If you read the scriptures, you'll see that as well. Guess what? Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. 900 years, and they became a nation. They became a state in 1948, and they had to wait years for that as well. And that's a long time, 900 years. You think about that. And think about David. Was anointed king, then Saul chased him for years and years and years. He had to wait upon the Lord. And then Jesus waited 30 years after his birth to begin his public ministry. Jesus died at a young age compared to what we consider young, you know? He was born, started his ministry at 30. He was placed on the cross at age 33. But look how long Jesus waited after his birth to begin his ministry. So most of us find it difficult to be kept waiting an hour. We don't even like to wait sometimes minutes in the line to get a hamburger, right? I don't know about you, sometimes you drive up to a fast food and you wait and you wait and then you decide, well, I'm just going to go inside and get my hamburger. And then you wait another double that or more. I've waited as long as 20 minutes for a hamburger or something like that. But you just got to learn patience. You just sit there and pray to God, say, well, Lord, you know, I must be sitting here for a reason. You're testing my patience, or you're wanting to me to yield more to you and just love you and be patient. So those are the things that we need to look at. So God works at his own speed and not ours. And I'm reminded of the words of, and that's why I wore my tie today, Isaiah 40:31. I love this verse. And it tells us about waiting. It says, but those who wait upon the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on the wings like an eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that's the New Living Translation. Now, I want to break this down for you a little bit here. The better understanding of this verse is I think a practical way. If you want to fly, run, and walk, you must learn to wait on God, right? Because all three of those words are mentioned in that verse. Fly like an eagle, run, and walk, and you won't be weary. And if you wait on God, you know, you have self-control. That's a perfect verse, and as I was reading and studying this, I'm always reading and studying this particular verse and see how much more I can receive from it. But when I was looking at this, as I was preparing this message, I saw, okay, you fly like an eagle. You'd rather fly like an eagle than like a buzzard, right? So you want to soar, not fly like a buzzard, but you want to soar like an eagle. And you run. It said, run and not grow weary. That means you're enduring, you're persevering. You know how hard it is, but you still run. You're still pedaling, and you keep going. And then when it comes to the point that you're walking, then you will not faint because you're trusting in the Lord. Okay, the final one is, how does patience work? Now, I've tried to lay the groundwork on what patience is about the point of this message to make it practical to our lives. And there's a whole lot here more than I could share in scriptures and so forth. But how does patience work in the United States of America in 2022? How does patience work? It's not working very well, is it? And I was thinking about that in this message. How is it working in the United States? You know, I wish the people of this nation could hear a message on patience and see what the scripture says about it. And their perspective would be more like God's perspective than ours. How does it work in our life and mine? Have you thought about that? How does patience work in your life and mine? When we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, the whole perspective of the fruit of the Spirit, and today this being the fourth one, how does patience work in your life and in my life? Well, to summarize this morning, I've been saying about patience means giving others the time and space that we would like to have ourselves. You think about that? Think about that just for a moment. Giving others the time and the space that we would like to have ourselves. And sometimes people get in your space, you get out of sort, right? What's your space? 3 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet? During the pandemic, it was 6 feet, right? Now we can pull them on in a little bit closer. But it's talking about our patience with one another. It's hanging tough when we feel more like blowing up, like dynamite. And it means allowing God to help us to be patient with others just as we want Him to be patient with us, okay? You think about that. That's a good analogy there. Being patient with others. How do we want God to be patient with us? It's very important for us to realize how patience works. Patience works somewhat differently in each one of us. We've got to realize that. It reminds me of a little boy, and I'll be closing here in a few minutes, that he and his mother was going on a long trip. And it was going to be a long, long trip. And they hadn't been on the road for about an hour or so. And the little boy said, "Hey, Mama, are we there yet?" She said, "No, son, we're not. We're not there yet. I'll let you know when we get there." And then within a few minutes, he said, "Mom, we're almost there." And so by this time, she was kind of getting frustrated herself. She said, "Son, we like 90 more miles till we get to the place where we're going. So just be silent, be quiet, and I'll let you know when we get there." Well, he was just quiet for just a few minutes. And he said, "Mother," but very shyly, "I just got one more question." She said, "Okay, let me hear it." She said, "Will I still be 4-year-old when I get there?" So that's being pretty patient, isn't it? In a child's understanding, you know, that's a long, long time. He didn't know if his age was going to change or not. But as we think about this morning, in conclusion, we have an opportunity to demonstrate patience in our world around us. And when I say our world around us, it's our community, where we live, where we go, where we shop, and where we go to church, our schools and activities. We have an opportunity to demonstrate patience. And we do it with God's help, you know. Sometimes if you lose patience, just pause a minute and say, "Hey, God, I need your help right here. I need you to help me to be more patient." And He will. And as I conclude this morning, I want to remind you that God has shown us patience and mercy by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And I'm going to close with this verse, which says, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow about His promise." God makes many promises, as some count slowness, "but is patient towards you and me, not wishing for any to perish, but to all to come to repentance." In our pastor's meeting this past week on Monday, we was talking about things of this nature, about repentance and so forth. And this very verse came up, and I thought, it's a perfect one to end with, about reaching out to people. God is patient with us. He has promised us so much, and He is not slack on His promise to us, and don't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. All, not just some, but all people. And we need to think about that. The opportunity is that we can demonstrate patience and love and peace and joy, faithfulness and self-control. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the message on patience this morning. There's so many scriptures that we could read and interpret that would help us in our life, being more patient and caring and loving, especially to you and one another, and having self-control in our life. Lord, this is your invitation. May we respond according to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. You speak to us individually. You are a personal God, and you love us and care for us. You want us to respond to your calling. First of all, to salvation, then our calling to serve, and our calling to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Lord, bless this invitation and each one, Lord, that is here today. In our hearts, may we make that decision right now that we're going to be more patient in our life and waiting for you, and understand patience on your side, your perspective of patience, because you are long-suffering, and sometimes we're not. So may we learn that in our life from your perspective and your word. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let us stand as we sing.